Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Verse Number 8. Aho sanata bhavata smayad vayam. Jaivista puranam apidura darshanam. Prema smita stigna nirikshananam. Pasyema rupam tava sarvasobhagyam. Oh, it is our good luck that we have come again today under your protection by your presence. For your lordship rarely visits even the denizens of heaven. Now it is possible for us to look into your smiling face, which is full of affectionate glances. We can now see your transcendental form full of all auspiciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord, in His eternal personal form, can be seen only by the pure devotees. The Lord is never impersonal, but He is the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead, possible to be visited by devotional service face to face, which is impossible to be done even by the denizens of higher planets. When Brahmaji and other demigods want to consult Lord Vishnu, the planetary portion of Lord Krishna, they have to wait on the shore of the ocean of milk where Lord Vishnu is lying on the white island Sweta Dvipa. This ocean of milk and the Sweta Dvipa planet are the replicas of Vaikuntha Loka within the universe. Neither Brahmaji nor the demigods like Indra can enter into this island of Sweta Dvipa, but they can stand on the shore of the ocean of milk and transmit their message to Lord Vishnu, known as Shirodakshay Vishnu. Therefore, the Lord is rarely seen by them, but the inhabitants of Dwarka, because of their being pure devotees without any tinge of material contamination of fruitive activities and empirical philosophical speculation, can see Him face to face by the grace of the Lord. This is the original state of the living entities and can be attained by reviving our natural and constitutional state of love, which is discovered by devotional service only. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So there are many, many points in this purport, and they're all very, very fascinating. First of all, In the verse itself, it says, O Lord, he's a resident of Dwarka. You are worshipped by all demigods like Brahma, the four sanas, and even the king. It is our good luck that we have come again today under your protection by your presence, for your lordship rarely visits even the denizens of heaven. Now it is possible to look into your smiling face. Well, that is a rare thing. And this shows a difference between the Isha Upanishad and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Isha Upanishad, one prays, Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Pitam Mukam Tatvam Pusama Pavrinu Satya Dharmaya Dristaye. O my Lord, sustainer of all that lives, your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Kindly remove that covering and exhibit yourself to your pure devotee. So we see that the Ishopanishad, or the Upanishads, first of all, it's Ishopanishad. Upanishad means Upanisha, means coming or approaching closer to God. Isha means the supreme controller, and Upa means coming closer. So the Upanishads are that part of the Vedas, the philosophical parts of the Vedas, that begin to move closer toward God. Because if you read the Vedas and you don't have proper guidance, you think that, oh, well, there are many gods. There's Indra, and there's Chandra, and there's Varuna, and there's Durga, and this one and that one. Because the mantras are directed seemingly toward the devas, the demigods. But actually, they're just the agents of the Lord, and they cannot give anything unless they receive it first from the Lord, and then they can confer certain material benedictions to the living entities. But it's not clear. So the Upanishads are beginning that movement toward understanding who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, therefore, it's a rare thing to be able to see the Lord face to face. They're requesting it. And then it says, Pusan ekase yama surya pujapatya vyuha rasmin samahatejo yate rupam kaya tamam tate pasami yosavasa purushasahamasmi. So that's mantra 16, which says, O my Lord, O primeval philosopher, maintainer of the universe, O regulating principle, destination of the pure devotees, well-wisher of the progenitors of mankind, please remove the effulgence of your transcendental rays so that I can see your form of bliss. You are the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead, like unto the sun, as am I. So again, twice they're asking. The Upanishad is a devotee. It's a person. Each one of the Upanishads is a person. And twice they're asking, but you see, there's no indication that they're actually seeing the Lord. And actually, the Upanishads are persons, and they usually are present with Lord Vishnu and reciting these prayers. But here they're requesting to be able to see the Lord. So it says here, now it is possible for us to look unto your smiling face, which is full of affectionate glances. So this is a very rare thing. So it's reserved for only the purest devotees. We can now see your transcendental form full of auspiciousness. So, then the second point is, Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavan yas chasmitat plato tat. So, then the 11th chapter, 54th verse, it says, let's see what that verse says. Bhaktya tunanyaya sakya ham evam vidurirjana gyatum drastum tatatvena pravestum cha parantapa. So this verse says, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before you and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. So here we see Arjuna is a pure devotee of the Lord, and he can see him directly. So we see also that Sisupala was also seeing Krishna, but he didn't understand. His understanding of Krishna was shrouded by his envy for the Lord. So seeing is not always believing. Sometimes people say seeing is believing. But if a person's intelligence is shrouded by false ego and enviousness, even though they're seeing, they don't understand. So Sisupala was seeing Krishna. He knew who Krishna was, but he didn't really understand that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he's arguing we should not respect him at all. He's a low-born person. Yeah, well, it looks like that in a sense because he's not a Kshatriya. He's considered a Vaishya. But that's all a bunch of nonsense. He can appear in any... look, are you going to say, oh, no, he's not God. He's a pig because he's appearing as Varaha. No, but he might be appearing in the body of a boar that he's manifesting unbelievable powers. So that's what we should look at. He can appear in every species, and he does, because he is the father of all living entities. So the boars and the pigs, they're also part of Krishna's family. But people who have enviousness, who have desires for sense gratification, who have a very powerful false ego, even they see, they don't believe, and they don't understand. So, therefore, it says that Krishna can be understood only by the process of undivided devotional service. He explicitly explains this in this verse so that unauthorized commentators who try to understand Bhagavad Gita by the speculative process will know that they are simply wasting their time. So why would someone try to understand Krishna through speculative, by a speculative process where that's condemned? Don't try and do that. You have to. What did we hear yesterday? Yesterday is probably one of the most important verses, in my estimation, of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, the good living beings are advised by the Lord to follow his good advice. And by doing so, they become successful in all spheres of life. There is no need to worship any deity but the Lord. The Lord is all-powerful, and if he is satisfied by our obedience unto his lotus feet, he is competent to bestow upon us all kinds of blessings for the successful execution of both our material and spiritual lives. For attaining spiritual existence, the human form is a chance for all to understand our eternal relation with God. Our relation with him is eternal. It can neither be broken nor vanquished. It may be forgotten for the time being, but it can be revived also by the grace of the Lord. If we follow his injunctions, which are revealed in the scriptures of all times and all places. So, we made that point yesterday when it says, at first it says, listen to the advice, then it says his injunctions, those are orders. They cannot be ignored. So, the main point here is that the relationship with Krishna can never be broken. Ah, this is an extremely important point. Let's say you have a very expensive china porcelain. They're very, they're art forms, and of course they make cheap imitations nowadays, but the real ones are very, very precious and very, very expensive. But if you break it, you can never really repair it properly. Because it's not like made out of metal. You can't just... You can try and glue it back together if it's broken, but it'll never really look proper. So, the relationship with the Lord here, it says, it can neither be broken nor vanquished. But you may forget it. So that means that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna, because we come from the eternal world, from the spiritual world. We don't come from the material world. Our soul doesn't come from the material world. It's not made of matter. Therefore, we have an eternal relationship with the Lord, but we're capable of forgetting it. But yet, because it's never broken like a china porcelain, you can revive it. Whereas the China porcelain, it's almost impossible to make it look like it originally did after it's broken. Is that right, Prabhu? So, we have to, these are all important points, that our relationship with Krishna can never be broken. It can only be forgotten. It can neither be broken nor vanquished. You can't, even if you become a demon, still you have a relationship with Krishna. Still you're part and parcel of the Lord. You can go into a state of yoga nidra, you know, a sleeping stage or unconscious stage. But then when you wake up, you're still a demon, but you still have a chance to become a devotee by purifying the mind of the enviousness and forgetfulness, and then you can revive your eternal relationship with Krishna. It's there. It can never be broken. It's a very significant point. And now, also, even the demigods, they have very rarely do they see the Lord in the form of Vishnu or the Lord in the form of Shamsundar. So that's why when Brahma is seeing Krishna in his form as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, or more precisely, he didn't see them as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. He saw them as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yasodamayi. He got confused. He said, "What's this little pipsqueak stopping my, worship?" Indra said that. "What's this nonsense? I'll show him. I don't think this guy is God, and I'll show how powerful I am." And Brahma also, he said, I'll play a little trick on this little kid, this little toddler, show him. So he steals the cows and calves and the cowherd boys. But then he becomes bewildered, because when he comes back right away, they're still there. And he knows he stole them, so then he becomes bewildered. So both the principal demigods, one is Brahma, the most important demigod, and then there's Indra, the king of the demigods. Both of them could not recognize who Krishna is, even though they saw him directly. So therefore it says, Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavan yaschasmi tatpata tatuvam tatpato gyatvad vishitetat anantaram. 18th chapter, 55th verse, which says, "One can understand me, as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can understand, he can enter into the kingdom of God." So this is the essential point, that devotional service is the goal of all knowledge, because it puts us, if it's properly done, directly in contact with the Lord through any one of his transcendental opulences, such as his name, his form, his pastimes, his abode, and his pure devotees. So this is an important verse today, again, because it reveals many, many things. So the demigods, they can't see Lord Vishnu, but they can hear him, and they sing his glories, the Purusha Sukta and other glories, to attract his attention, and then they have some requests to make. Such and such a demon is causing havoc and we can't defeat him. Can you please do something? So neither Brahmaji nor the demigods like Indra can enter into the island of Svetadripa. So there's a Svetadripa in the spiritual world, and there's a Svetadripa in the material world. It's actually a Vaikuntha planet. In the spiritual world, you'll see Narayan there. In the material world, you'll see Shirodakshay Vishnu. So neither Brahmaji nor the demigods like Indra can enter into this island of Swetadripa, but they can stand on the shore of the ocean of milk and transmit their message to Lord Vishnu, known as Shirodakshay Vishnu. Therefore, the Lord is rarely seen by them, but the inhabitants of Dwarka, because of their being pure devotees, without any tinge of the material contamination of fruitive activities and empiric philosophical speculation, can see him face to face by the grace of the Lord. This is the original state of the living entities and can be attained by reviving our natural and constitutional state of life, which is discovered by devotional service only. This is a very significant verse, giving us a lot of, it's validating everything Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita and going even further by showing the difference between the purest devotees and the demigods, who still have the desire to dominate nature to a certain extent. So they can't easily see the Lord, whereas the pure devotees, like the wives of Krishna and Dwarka, and of course the gopis, they're seeing Krishna all the time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions? Okay, so then we will continue tomorrow morning. Hari Bol, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.